He came to fix her air conditioning.
Nothing I did was going to please her.
You came into that job with an attitude.
But he was the one who needed to cool down.
I said, ma'am, I don't need you and I don't need this job.
He slammed the door with all his might and I caught my arm like this.
He assaulted you.
But a surprising twist could change everything.
Let me see your hospital records.
Judge Judy.
There's a problem.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 61-year-old teacher Marina Griffin is suing 42-year-old plumber Mark Nix for slamming her hand in a door twice. Mark says Marina is an unsatisfied customer and is making up a story.
Order. All rise. Quiet in the courtroom. Quiet in the courtroom. Now, this is case number 27 on the calendar in the matter of Griffin versus Nix. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated.
Miss Griffin, according to your complaint, the defendant came to your home to fix some air conditioning problem that you had, and while he was there, he assaulted you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Injured your hand, and you want to be compensated to the tune of $5,000.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Nix denies that he assaulted you in any way and is countersuing for $1,000 for having him falsely arrested.
Right.
Did you have a contract with his company?
No, we were dealing through the home warranty insurance.
When did you call and schedule the appointment?
My husband called about 5 weeks prior to that. He was busy. Eventually, appointment was made for the 22nd of June 2000 for 11 a.m.
Okay. Did you make the appointment?
My husband made an appointment.
Okay. So you did not personally speak to anyone?
No, I did not.
And they weren't there at 11 o'clock, so you started to call them?
That's right.
Who did you speak to?
I spoke to his office, and they relayed the message.
Subsequently, Mr. Nix did arrive, and he arrived at about 2 o'clock.
2:15.
Fine. What happened when he arrived?
When I opened the door, I saw Mr. Nix. He looked disheveled. He looked upset. He told me earlier on the phone that he had difficulty in previous job.
So you did, in fact, speak to him before?
Yes, after his office gave him the message, he called me.
Oh, and what did he say to you when he called you?
He said that he's busy on another job. He said that he didn't know when he will be there, but he said probably by 1 o'clock. He said, by the way, the appointment was made for 1 o'clock, which was incorrect. And when I saw Mr. Nix, he was very, very upset. I told him about the air conditioning unit in the pantry, and he said that, first of all, he said, I don't do air conditioning units because it's a unit, it's not a central air conditioning system. I don't do that, and insurance will not pick it up. And I said, but insurance told us that they will do it. Well, he argued with me, and as he argued, he was becoming more and more aggravated and upset. He refused to do that air conditioning job. So we went downstairs to the cellar.
For what?
To repair the main water shut-off valve, and it's the same work on the hot and cold water in the washing machine. He started looking for a main shut-off valve, and he couldn't find it. He asked me where it was. I was new to the house, and I just didn't know. He got very, very upset. He was irritable, very, very irritable. I asked him at that time, how long will it be before he finishes his work, because I had a seminar with the, to go to. And I was very anxious. That's why the appointment was made for 11 o'clock to give me.
I don't know whether the appointment was made for 11. Very few people say we'll be there at 11. What they say is we'll be there anytime after 11, which usually means 7 o'clock at night. It's been my experience. So, go ahead. So you tell him you want to know how long it's going to be.
He became more argumentative with me. And his bodily language became menacing to me. He then turned around and said to me, looking very angry, and he said, I don't know what blank I'm doing here. I didn't want to be here in the first place, and this is verbatim. And he went past me, and he almost brushed against my body. He looked very menacing, and he ran upstairs. He slammed the door of the cellar with all his might. I was right behind him. And I caught my arm like this. It hit my arm and bent backward. Then he proceeded upstairs to run upstairs to the front door. Now, he opened the front door. There was a storm door. that has glass panels, and one of the panels was already broken. And I knew that if he would slam that door as hard as he slammed the door in the cellar, the glass would be all over the place. I was so scared, and I tried to catch this door from just exploding. And the very sharp door handle hit me right here on my wrist. It was so painful. I screamed. I screamed in pain.
Okay, go.
Okay, first of all, Your Honor, I have papers from my answering service. It says right there that the apartment was scheduled for after 11 o'clock. She's right. I didn't get there until 2 o'clock.
Okay.
She called me twice on my pager. She called my answering service twice on my pager, very aggravated, wanting to know where I was. I was supposed to be at 11 o'clock. I said, no, ma'am, it was scheduled for after 11. I cannot give an exact time. As soon as she opened up the door, she said, you were supposed to be here at 11 o'clock. And she wanted to argue with me about all that. And I said, okay, just show me your problems. So she did show me the air conditioner. It was a window air conditioner built into a wall. And the insurance company don't take care of window air conditioners, and I told her that. I said, but I'll call to double check to make sure. She got very aggravated with me. And
what do you mean? The insurance company only takes care of central air?
Central air, and that's it. Only because people can take their window air conditioners and move them to each house.
Did the builder install this air conditioner in the laundry room?
Yes. And the insurance does cover it because the next person that came fixed it and insurance paid for it.
So you were mistaken?
Well, I was going to double check with the air.
Okay,
with
but
the,
you were mistaken.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then she goes, well, you're the third insurance person that was in my house that didn't want to do anything for me. She was very aggravated.
I can probably understand that.
And then I said,
can you understand that, Mr. Nix?
Yes.
Can you understand that? She's told that there's an insurance policy that covers anything that's wrong, and we have our own people who are going to fix it. And then you start calling these people, and lo and behold, nobody wants to fix anything that's supposedly covered by the... Mr. Nick, don't interrupt
me. Okay, I'm sorry.
You understand what I'm saying? This is not a please your customer policy. This is, you know, whether you see one house or 10 houses in a day, your company gets paid the same money. Does that sound about right?
Yes, ma'am, but...
Just a minute. Okay. That sounds about right.
Yes.
So this is not really a service business. This is... Get rid of them as soon as you can. All right, so you tell her that you can't fix the air conditioner, which you should have fixed in the first place, and then she shows you the water problem downstairs. And by that time, you're mad, she's mad, and there's a problem, right?
Well, I said, what other problems you have? And she said, the main water valve by the water meter isn't working. I said, okay, well, where's the water meter? And real nasty, she says, well, you're the plumber, you should know where it is.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Marina Griffin says when plumber Mark Nix was doing work at her house, he assaulted her by slamming her hand in a door twice.
Go ahead.
So I find it. I said, okay, ma'am, they'll take care of that. And then she looked at me real nasty again and just said, well, how long is this going to take? Because I got very important things to do. And I knew right then I wasn't going to please her. Nothing I did was going to please her. So I just looked at her, I said, ma'am, I don't need you, and I don't need this job, and I start walking out. And to tell you the truth, I don't remember even a basement door on it going up to the first floor. And when I got to the front door, I just opened it up. I opened up the storm door, and I left. And I didn't hear ouch. I didn't hear you hurt me. I didn't hear anything. She went and filed a police report. The police never even called me.
So what happened?
She took me to criminal court.
And
it was
happened?
Dismissed.
And how much did you pay the lawyer?
$1,000.
Okay. Let me see your hospital records.
Your Honor, first of all, being a layperson, I didn't know which steps to follow after that. I was in shock. My husband came.
Just give me the hospital records.
Okay.
Don't tell me what they mean. I'm just reading them.
I did this.
Say nothing. Tell me what happened when you went to court, sir.
My lawyer didn't even have to say a word. She dug herself so far in a hole.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you what happened when you got to court.
She claimed her claim, and as soon as she was done...
So did you have a hearing?
Yes, we did.
And after the plaintiff testified, did you testify?
No, I didn't. I didn't have to.
Your attorney rested, and the case was dismissed.
Right.
Gotcha. Let me address your counterclaim first. Mr. Nix. There is no question from my reading of the medical records that she hurt a wrist. She was hurt, she felt, because of your actions and slamming her door that she tried to prevent from breaking, so she put a hand out to avoid.
Not just once, but twice?
Shh. Maybe not just once, but twice, because you got a temper. I know you have a temper. You know you have a temper. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Your wife knows you have a temper. So she has the right to file a complaint. So I'm dismissing your counterclaim against her. Likewise, Mrs. Griffin, I am dismissing your claim against the defendant, because while he may have been acting inappropriately, and I certainly think he did, I think that you were annoyed that he got there late. You thought 11 o'clock means at 1 minute to 11, he's going to ring the bell and you're going to have your service. Well, things don't work that way in this world. I've never known a serviceman, unless I was the first call, to be there on time. So you're getting a little bit agitated. He's getting even more agitated. However, it's his responsibility to come and fix things in your house. And the fact that you said to him, how long are you going to be? And he said, I'm not ever going to satisfy this lady. He didn't want to be there in the first place. He's going to get paid anyway. He stormed out. That was inappropriate behavior. But if I believe you that you were physically menaced by this angry man, then what you do is you stay as far away from him as possible. If he's storming out of the house, let him go. The fact that you put out your hand to stop the door, that's your fault. He's not liable for that. If your husband was walking out the door and you didn't have a fight with him and you knew he was going to slam the door and he did, in fact, slam the door, and you put your hand out to stop the door, would you sue your husband? You may yell at your husband, but you don't sue them. You can't get sue crazy here. But, Mr. Nix, maybe you're in the wrong line of business. Maybe you should rethink what you want to do, sir.
Ma'am, I've been in business for 16 years, and I never once walked out on a job. Never
once.
Well,
I want to tell you something. You came into that job, Mr. Nix, with an attitude because you had had a difficult morning.
No, well,
shh, listen to me,
okay,
sir. I know you had to. I, you know, I'm really good at reading body language, Mr. Nix. You had a bad morning, whether it was a bad personal morning or a bad business morning, or you had a tough job, whatever it was. You're in the middle of a tough job. This lady is calling you two or three times on your cell phone. Every time you have to answer your cell phone, you got to stop doing what you're doing. You finally get there, and the first thing that you do is you look at something that's supposed to be covered by the insurance, and you say to her, that's not covered. It's in the wall.
But anybody, I did say I would double-check that.
That doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
You originally said that. That's not covered. Then you go downstairs. You say, where's the water valve? If somebody asked me where the water pipe was in my house, I couldn't tell them. Somebody said to me, you have a septic tank? I said, I don't know. How do you, well, what's in the water? I said, I don't know. You go in, you turn on the faucet, water comes out, you flush the toilet, and it flushes. Don't ask me hard questions. I'm a judge, right?
The main water valve is one thing you should know what's in your house, ma'am.
But let me tell you something. Mr. Nix, I don't consider myself an idiot. Really, you know, I'm a pretty savvy lady. I know my business. I'm telling you, I don't know where the main water valve is anywhere.
Okay.
Anywhere. And I guarantee you, I'm not alone.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
I'm not alone. There are a lot of people that don't know where their main water valve is. So the fact that she didn't know it and that irritated you, so you had to go looking for it for 5 minutes, that's what happens. You're in a service business, son. And the fact that then when she said to you, according to you, how long are you going to be? And you didn't like the way she said, how long are you going to be? And you said, listen, I don't even want to be here. I don't need this job. I don't need this aggravation. You turned around and you walked away. She didn't curse you. She didn't scream at you. That's not this lady's style. She may have been short with you, but you had a bad day. So the next person that said something that rubbed you the wrong way, we're going to get it. Unfortunately, it was her. That doesn't mean, Miss Griffin, that he caused your injury. I do not believe he assaulted you. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Never, never once have I had this problem, never.
Be very, very careful who they let into their house.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Wright versus Pettis. Step forward, please.
36-year-old aerobic instructor Sabrina Wright and her daughter, 9-year-old Morgan Wright, are suing 48-year-old phone operator Linda Pettis and her son, 9-year-old Ryan Watt. Morgan says while she was roughhousing with Ryan, he broke her glasses.
Ms. Wright, your little girl and the defendant's little boy were at a school basketball game.
Yes.
The defendant was also present, but she was working at the game in the, right, one of the concession stands. Mm-hmm. It is your claim that during some sort of roughhousing that the defendant's son broke your daughter's eyeglasses.
Yes, ma'am.
You contacted her. She didn't get back to you, so you went out and bought a less expensive pair of eyeglasses. You want her to be responsible for half the cost of the original eyeglasses and half the cost of the new eyeglasses.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened.
We started out playing rough.
How were you playing rough?
We just started hitting each other, and then...
But you're so much bigger than he is. Why were you hitting him?
I don't know.
Were you just playing?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you scared?
Yes.
Don't be scared.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 9-year-old Morgan Wright says former friend 9-year-old Ryan Watt broke her glasses. Ryan says it wasn't his fault.
Just tell the truth, and you don't have to be scared. So you were roughhousing around, fooling around, and what happened with your glasses?
His mom set us down.
Both of you, because you were roughhousing?
Yes.
Where did she sit you down?
On the bench over there.
A long bench?
Yes.
Are you crying? Little bit?
Yes.
All right, we need a tissue over there.
You okay? Don't be scared. She's not as mean as they say. Okay? All right? All right.
Am I that scary?
Yeah, what is
it? Oh, I told her not to be scared. It's okay. So you're sitting down on the bench?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you sitting on either side of the bench?
Yes, I was sitting on this side, he was sitting on this side.
So what happened?
Then he started tilting the bench, and then I was about to get up and go tell his mom, then he tipped the bench over.
How did he tip the bench over?
He stood up and tipped it over.
When he stood up, his weight went off the bench, and you were on the other end, and you fell down?
No, I was getting up, and then he stood up, and then he tipped it over.
Where were your glasses?
On the bench.
What were your glasses doing on the bench?
I was drying my face.
So, tell me what happened.
What happened was me and Morgan were playing and roughing around, but then my mom told us to sit down on either side of the bench. She starts scooting up the bench to the screen door where the lost and found is. She took her glasses off and started drying her face. And then when she scooted it up the last time...
Scooted? You mean she was moving with her body and moving the bench?
Yes.
Were you doing that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead.
And then when she scooted up again, her glasses fell off the bench. And then when the bench was about to fall, I got up before it fell.
Where were you that day?
I was home. I had just finished working.
Who took them to the game?
They normally catch AM ride with another student's mother who also works in the snack bar area.
Well, who's responsible for them at the game?
Well, they are pretty much responsible children. So,
how old is your daughter?
Is 9.
They may be responsible children, but if you let them go to a game like that unsupervised, in this case, the defendant, Ms. Pettis, not only was working that day, but working that day and supervising her child, who she gave a timeout to, along with your daughter, and then she had to go back to work.
She was not supervising.
She did supervise them because at some point they were fooling around.
Right.
And she wanted to stop them from fooling around because they were hitting each other.
Right.
So she sat them both down on the bench. So in that moment, she was supervising them.
Right. Well, yes.
If you weren't there
right.
to supervise your daughter, who was only 9 years old, I don't believe that the defendant has an obligation to pay for the glasses. So your case is dismissed. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
You both should have paid half for the glasses.
I had a witness that could verify that he didn't cause the problem. And if she had just talked to the witness, we could have settled it right there.
I did try to work it out, talk it out, and Linda was not willing to.
I never believed that I was responsible for paying any of the costs of her glasses, and I'm glad Judge Judy saw the right way.